Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenter for this week, John Bourne. Coming up on the programme this week, I'll be speaking to Dr. Bojana Kerlik, a lecturer in the School of History at UCC. Dr. Kerlik is an expert in European history and politics, and she'll be telling us about some very sinister developments in and around the Baltic states. I'll also be speaking to the wonderful Noel O'Connell, who is the Executive Director of the European Movement Ireland, about their new desktop guide to the EU entitled Just the Facts. We'll have a rundown of some of the stories of Irish interest that are making the headlines in the EU. We'll have a statement by Martin Schulz, European Parliament President, on the gun attack on French magazine Charlie Hebdo in Paris. And we'll have some eclectic music for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme Europe Today. The BT Young Scientist exhibition at the RDS in Dublin opens to the public today. 1,200 students from across the 32 counties will have 550 projects on display over the next 2 days. Emer Hickey from Kinsale Community College, together with Kira George and Sophie Heath-Thaw, won the competition in 2013 and went on to win the EU Young Scientist of the Year. Kira George says the importance of the BT and European Young Scientist competitions cannot be overstated.
So the BT Young Scientist is the competition which picks these amazing projects and sends them to Europe and has them representing our country. So I think it's important in society and it with young people cannot be overstated. And I'll be looking forward to when the exhibition hall opens to checking out all the stands from industry and, of course, the EU stand.
The European Consumer Centre in Ireland is advising Irish holidaymakers to watch out for selling scams in Spain. The centre has received a number of complaints from irate consumers caught out by aggressive selling techniques when purchasing cameras, tablets, laptops, etc. Grace Duffy of the ECC office in Dublin says customers should do their homework before parting with cash.
If you're looking to buy items like this, to make sure that you do a good bit of research in advance so that you're aware of how much they typically retail for and what brands, I suppose, are best for your needs. And then if you do encounter any kind of aggressive or very persistent selling techniques, just to remain vigilant against them and make sure that you take time to consider your options, because any reputable trader will give you time to reflect and to think it over before insisting you make a purchase.
EU Agricultural Commissioner Phil Hogan says he is determined to tackle cost problems in the European food supply chain. The problem has resulted in consumers paying too much for groceries and farmers being overcharged for fertilizer. This is despite a reduction in oil prices by 45% since last June. Kevin Keary from Mount Bellew, County Galway, who is a member of Commissioner Hogan's cabinet, says the price dynamics in the food chain don't make sense.
All players in the food chain must realize that producers must get a decent return for their raw material, and it's difficult whereas prices across the economy are falling due to energy inputs, yet fertilizer, including food prices, fertilizer prices are increasing, and these input costs increases are unjustifiable, it seems, in light of the large fall in energy prices.
Yesterday, gunmen attacked the Paris office of French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo, killing 12 people and injuring 7 in an apparent Islamist attack. The following is a statement from Martin Schulz, the European Parliament President.
On behalf of the European Parliament, I express my condolences with the journalists and their families, with the policemen killed and their families. We are with the victims and we are with the French nation. In a moment where the values of our society are attacked by terrorists, we should stick together to defend our values. Freedom of press, freedom of speech, mutual respect and tolerance. That's the basis of our society. And we are not prepared here in the European Parliament and nowhere in Europe to accept that these values are attacked as it happened today in Paris. But in the same moment, let's not react with emotion. Let's stick together in defending our values and continue our open and open-minded society based on our values and our mutual respect. Dun, 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 dun. Du
ich lieber springen. Wenn du redest, will ich singen. Du schlägst Wurzeln, ich muss fliegen. Wir haben die Stille um uns totgeschwiegen. Wo ist die Liebe geblieben? Ich fühl mich jung und du dich alt. So fallen wir um, uns fehlt der Halt. Wir müssen uns bewegen. Ich bin dafür, du dagegen. Wir gehen auf anderen Wegen. Mein Herz schlägt schneller als deins. Sie schlagen nicht mehr wie eins. Wir leuchten heller allein. Vielleicht muss es so sein. Mein Herz schlägt schneller als deins. Sie schlagen nicht mehr. Stärker brennt und ich frage nicht mehr nach, was uns verbindet oder trennt, weil ich weiß, wir fahren weiter im Kreis. Wir müssen atmen, wieder wachsen, bis die alten Schalen platzen und wo wir uns selbst begegnen, fallen wir mitten ins Leben. Wir gehen auf andere.
Broadcasting on 103.2. This is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
Young people are being trained to shoot and fight in training camps in Belarus under the guidance of Russian instructors. Pro-Russian paramilitary organizations are recognized by the Belarusian government and supported by more than 50% of the population. Similar organizations are active in the Baltic states as well, but are prosecuted by their respective governments. Bojana Kerlik is a lecturer in the School of History at UCC in Cork, and she is an expert in European history and politics. She also has a very keen interest in Russian covert activity across Europe. This afternoon she joins us on the line. Dr. Kerlik, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. Dr. Kerlik, can you tell us what is the extent of the Russian involvement in some of these separatist states?
Well, I suppose, you know, one can look at it from all different perspectives. One sometimes wonders, does Russia prepare its fifth column, maybe in the post-Soviet republics, since there are quite significant voices talking about young boys who are being trained how to shoot and fight by the Russian instructors.
Yeah,
and if you look at the successful pro-Russian operation in Crimea and Donetsk, for example, and it puts some of the post-Soviet republics, for example, the Baltic republics, on quite a high alert, as it basically transpires that some of the youth camps are training camps organized by Moscow, for example.
Okay, and it's pretty well organized. And I mean, what age group are we talking about here?
I have read some interview with the head of Belarusian organization. It is called Cossacks Spas, and they organize. It is a kind of like an patriotic paramilitary camps or activities for youth.
Right,
and these are the camps where the children or young adults learn how to use weapons, for example.
Okay.
The instructors are quite often Russians, and last year we're talking maybe about 100-150 young boys taking part in this type of training just in Belarus, and this similar organizations like this are active in the Baltic republics, for example, in Moldova, Armenia, or Kazakhstan, and they all organize trips for this paramilitary patriotic training, and as well, this is part of I suppose learning the history of Soviet Union.
Okay.
As well, and these camps are normally coordinated from the Russian side by the organizations of retired soldiers, or for example, a type of MI5 type personnel in the Russian army.
Okay, and I mean, would you go so far as to say that there's a KGB activity going on here as well?
I couldn't say that.
Okay.
I would have no
evidence.
No sources. I would have no knowledge to make such a statement.
Okay. Would the Russian instructors be acting independently of any official government sanctions, official Russian government sanctions? Are these just rogue ex-military Russian instructors that have taken this on themselves, or are they operating within the jurisdiction of the Russian government?
I would be more inclined to say that it is much more organized activity, that it is not some independent activities. As you know, when you think about it, the similar activities took place in Crimea and Donetsk, where the flags, for example, of today's Donetsk republics were being used. So you know, one kind of wonders, it is not an individual action. It needs to be coordinated, and I presume it needs to be financed as
of
well.
Course. And again, is the extent of this, I mean, how many instructors are we talking about? Are we talking about 5, 10, 300? How many are we talking about?
I couldn't tell you. There are, for example, in Moldova, Moldovan Ministry of Foreign Affairs believes that, for example, it could be around a few hundred yachts taking place.
But as regards the instructors themselves, how many instructors are we talking about?
I don't know. For this, I have no numbers.
Again, I mean, if people want to sort of keep an eye on this situation, where would they be looking? Is there particular sources on the internet maybe that you can recommend that people keep an eye on? Or will they just keep
I normally read Russian or Polish papers.
Okay,
I will look up the Ukrainian papers, for example, but then once again I don't know what percentage of the Irish readership would look up. This information is not as popular or easily available in here.
Dr. Kerlich, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today.
Thank you very much.
Hier, la fin de la saison. Je ne veux plus savoir. On s'est éloigné. Tu ne vas plus m'avoir. Et tout est terminé. Oh, 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 oh. Lui parler au fond d'un couloir, tu voulais aller. Hypocrisie d'un soir, les verres sont cassés, envolés les espoirs et nos cœurs défoncés. Oh, oh. Je cherche mon chemin, je ne le trouve plus, il me paraît bien loin.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
A new desktop guide which provides an overview of the European Parliament, the European Commission, the European Council and the Councils of the EU is being launched this week by European Movement Ireland. There is detailed information about the new Parliament's political groupings, members and structures, as well as the portfolios and backgrounds of the members of the new EU Commission. On the line now to tell us a little bit more about all this is Executive Director of the European Movement Ireland, Noel O'Connell. Noel, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. Noel, can you tell us a little bit about the new Just the Facts desktop guide?
Absolutely, John. Well, we're delighted to be launching our brand new and very handy practical desktop guidebook to the EU. So what essentially is, John, it's part of our work to develop the connection between Ireland and Europe, and in a very practical, jargon-free as manner as possible, information that Irish people need to understand, to contact, to connect and work with the EU, whether it's our elected representatives, that is our MEPs, or whether we're looking at the European Commission, because we have a new European Commission in place, or the whole Council of the EU. So what we're trying to do with it is kind of bring all that information together in a very handy, very user-friendly, little handy desktop guidebook, looking at the European Parliament, the new European Parliament set up for 2014-2019. We're looking at the new European Commission, and we're looking at the role and the composition of the European Council and Councils of the EU. So we kind of give a bit of a snapshot summary, I suppose, of Ireland and the setup here. And then we also look at the composition and the makeup of the political groupings in the Parliament, and we look at that across the 28 member states. And we've really managed to kind of pull it all together in about very handy 50 or so pages that fits very nicely on people's desks.
So essentially this is the definitive guide starting off in 2015, looking at the new commission and the new appointments and things like this, and given the details of as it stands starting off from in the new year. Yeah,
absolutely, John. I mean, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I mean, we all know how hard it is to sometimes to kind of decipher or get the relevant information, given that there's so much information out there in relation to European developments and the whole EU. And what I suppose what we're trying to do very much is bring it all together in an intelligible, easy to understand format.
Indeed,
and
so it's
very practical, it's very user friendly. And we're really excited and delighted that Minister Coveney is going to be launching it for us this week.
The other thing I was going to ask you about as well, and it's called the Green Book. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
Essentially, John, our Green Book is one-stop Bible reference source for Irish people interested in working for the different EU institutions and agencies and looking to get a foot on the ladder in Brussels. It is very much what it says on the tin. It has been written by former Irish interns. We've had input from people who've worked in Brussels and come back, and it's a really practical, handy how-to guide for Irish people who are interested in getting a job in the different EU institutions, such as the Commission, the Parliament, the Council, the different agencies, NGOs, public affairs companies. What we try and do is give a little bit of background about how you should go about pulling together your CV, your application, the interview process, the next steps, how then actually to progress. Once you've done your internship, say, with the Commission or the Parliament, what are the next steps? What do you want to do next? Where do you see yourself going? Say, for example, you want to continue on, you want to get a contract, or we look at how people go about the concours to get a permanent position in the civil service there. So we've, you know, it's very comprehensive, a very practical, and really, really a useful source for people who are interested in taking that step. Because it's really important, John, as you no doubt know, and I'm sure the listeners will be aware, that for us, for Ireland, for us to continue to have our say at the European table, it's really important that Irish people look and consider the EU and its different institutions and agencies and bodies as a really viable and important career opportunity for Irish people. That way we'll have a strong pipeline of Irish voices throughout the civil service. For example, the current Secretary General is an Irish lady called Catherine Day. And it would be fantastic if we had more Irish people like Catherine to fly the flag over in Brussels for us. And this is something that we feel really strongly about, and it's part of our grad jobs work, our Green Book work. And it's great to see we're working very closely with the Department of the Taoiseach are very involved in the whole EU jobs campaign, as are the Commission and the Parliament. And we're just trying to promote really awareness of the different EU institutions amongst Irish graduates.
Fantastic. Okay, what will be the focus of the European movement in 2015, Noel?
Well, we've lots going on, we've certainly lots going on. We're obviously continuing with our advocacy and communications work, of which are just the facts, policy briefings, and our desktop guide forms one part. Our grad jobs work, we'll continue to give talks to different third level institutions throughout the country. We'll be doing a new version of our Green Book, updating it next year. That's going to be a big body of work for us.
Okay.
And our Blue Star program, which we which we're the national implementation body for, we have about 170 primary schools with about 20,000 pupils in every county in Ireland taking part, which is fantastic. So that's going to be a big part of our workload for next year. And I suppose really at a higher level and on a I suppose coming down the track, we're looking very closely at the whole EU-UK-Irish relationship.
Indeed, yeah,
and how that's going
to pan out.
I mean, obviously the British general election taking place in May, John, I think that's something that we're going to be very, very focused on. And the whole Brexit issue, as it's kind of been, it's becoming known as, is certainly something that as an organisation we'll be looking at. We'll be talking about it to our members, you know, our colleagues in European Movement Northern Ireland, European Movement UK. And that's going to be a big part of the potential in-out UK referendum will certainly be a big part of our work, as will the whole area around TTIP and the free trade agreements that are currently in the process of being negotiated between the EU and Canada and the US. So that's a big part of our work as well.
The launch of the Just for Facts desktop guide is this week. And where can people just give us those website details again?
Yeah, sure. So it'll be launched this week. Available. I was going to say available in all good bookstores. we'll work on that, but it's available from our organisation. So have a look at our website, www.europeanmovement.ie, and get in touch with us here in the office if you're interested in finding out more. So all information will be on our website.
Okay. Sorry, Noel. Did you say it's going to be available as a hard copy as well?
Yeah, we have.
All right, okay.
We have
on demand. Yeah.
Anybody
wants to, if anybody wants to get one, they can give they can give you a buzz there. Noel, listen, you're always very good to us here on Europe Today, and thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Don't forget to check out our support website platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and a link to some of the items that we've mentioned as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme Europe Today.